Cheers.
Steve, just to begin in midweek, what a victory that was against Bolton. What impressed you more? Is it the fact, the style of the victory, or just the fact that, you know, he managed to get that crucial win?
I think about both. I think obviously the main factor is that we'd said before the game for a number of days it was a big game for us. You know, we either pulled ourselves up towards Bolton or we let them away and we remained in that fight. But I think the quality and on show was the real reason behind the tenacity and the energy and the passion of the players trying to win a football match. And when we work as hard as that and we do it as well as that, we're always a force.
There were a few people doubting sort of the moves that you'd made. Do you feel that that performance was particularly gratifying because, you know, some of the players that you brought to the club showed why you'd brought them here?
Well, I think your supporters are always, they're always entitled to an opinion. I never had it and I denied it after the game. I'm a Glasgow Celtic supporter, so I have an opinion. Doesn't mean it's right. But we're in the, you know, we had a pro licence course last weekend, and I spent quite a bit of time in that course with Kevin Keegan, of course, as just a legend in English football. But he talked about, he's seen Rotherham United in a period in the Championship where we've come into a big, big league, and we have to have a period of evolution, and evolution, not revolution. Revolution is back in the summer, I could have moved everybody that helped us get out of League One. And the first part of that process was to genuinely think who could play a part above or who we have a contractual responsibility to give an opportunity above. But the next 4, 5, 6 months becomes a period of evolution where you have to assess. And it's not just a Steve Evans show here. It's a Steve Evans, Paul Rayner, Paul Warren, our scouting staff and people's opinions that we absorb before we make decisions on who's just good enough. And there's always going to be some tough decisions. You know, Alec Revell was fairly simple. He didn't want to play for the club anymore. He wanted to get the benefits of a good contract somewhere else. And after our talk to him, he'd not got anywhere. So that was a decision that was largely taken in my hands. I can't affect that. But the other decisions in terms of players moving on are based on a real belief within the management team that we need stronger people or perhaps, dare I say it, better players in those positions. But it doesn't take away the fact that we're indebted to some of those lads for helping us get where we are.
It is the kind of situation I suspect any club faces when they win back-to-back promotions, isn't it? Because you suddenly find yourselves in a very different level, playing very different teams.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what's the difference with the Championship in League One? I've been asked many times. The answer is lots, really. You know, why is it lots? Because there's 11 better players against you as a rule. You know, everything's a little bit better, whether it be the standard of goalkeeping, we've seen that to a cost this year, or we've even seen more to a cost, whether it be the standard of the finishing. But everything's a little bit better. But, you know, we had to come up with a plan, which we did mid-December, which was to work with a group of around 21, 22 players. So that told you that you were going to move some players out. They had to be hand-selected. And it said we were going to bring some players into the football club. Today we stand with 2 long-term loan players who will be to the end of the season. We've got 2 short-term loan players. The rest are all permanents. We're in a great position. We're in a great position to add maybe 1 or 2 or 3 players, whatever it is between now and when we go through Monday. Then we'll have that magical 21-22 number that myself and Tony Stewart spoke and agreed on back in mid-December. But as our chairman says, we just have to put our heads down and work hard, because we made similar changes last year. I can remember going to Coventry with 3, 4 substitutes with Noah Dickomedes. And I can remember a famous journalist in these parts, Les Payne, said to me that was a big performance needed at the right time because we were in a period of evolution. So when you step up a level, that's what it has to be about. And this is where we are now. I've seen the Bolton performance very, very similar to that in terms of it was we needed a performance for our supporters, for our players, our staff, our chairman. We all needed that. But what we got out of that was a real belief that what we've done here since mid-December is we've got a lot right, and what we have to do is got a lot right between now and Monday.
How encouraging is it to see Connor Salmon start the way that he has?
Well, I think he's been great for us. You know, he probably got a bit isolated when we pitched him in against Bournemouth, and that was down to the system and probably a little bit too much respect for an opposition. But they are capable, as we found out, from going to being beaten more than us, 5s and 6s. Never beaten that when we changed that a little bit. And we perhaps, with a benefit looking back, should have been probably more positive. But secondly, we probably should have got something out of that game, even as we were. But Connor's come in, and I thought on Tuesday night he run every blade of grass that was in the New York, accompanied by Matt Derbyshire. And I think we said before the game, I picked a team 7-8 days ago to my staff, and I said to them that if we were turning up here as any other management team and we were facing Rotherham United that was led by Connor Salmon and Matt Derbyshire, I think I'd be telling my central defenders, you're going to be in for a tough evening.
Mm. You've let, obviously, Brindley go out on loan today. Give us a thought on that, and also, are there going to be any other players that move out as you try and shape this squad? I know you want to get the numbers up in the team, but are there any others that may go out?
Well, quite simple with Richard. You know, Richard had, we'd one or two people want to take Richard Brindley on a permanent deal and offer us even, they said, a little bit of money for him, but we didn't really want Richard. We didn't feel his time has come to an end here. We still feel there's a big development part within Richard, but listen, my door's probably got dents on it from Richard Brindley's knuckles, but he wants to knock on it and come in for a cup of tea and a glass of water and a chat about why he should be away playing football. And he's a young man who wants to play football. So he had the choice of joining two or three clubs, one in League One, a couple in League Two, and he chose Oxford. And for me, he's joined a proper, traditional, good football club where he's, I think maybe Scales are going there last week, probably helps that decision as well. And I think he joined a good coach in Michael Appleton.
On the point of any other people going out, you know, there may be fringe players that you do think could go out and get some football.
Well, the only, we've given Ryan Hall permission to talk to two or three clubs, a couple in League One, one in League Two, that he's been talking to for a couple of days. You know, Ryan signed here in a deal that he really had to be in the team to earn his family any sort of income. So I've also had to listen to that kid as well in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I've come back from Notts County. I'm not playing. For me to earn my wages and pay my bills, I have to be playing, so would there be an opportunity? And he's a good player, but we've sat there and said, all right, if that opportunity is there, then we'll let you talk to them. And you know, that'll probably develop a run for maybe 1 or 2 days. I'm not really fully up to speed with it, but I would expect maybe between now and Monday, Ryan might have gone to pastures new. But if he's not, he'll come back in the door and be treated with the respect to all the players are, and he'll try and get his head down and try and force himself back in the thoughts.
And of course, as we talk about players moving out, it will ramp up the desire to bring others in. And I know you're always looking, Steve, so is there anything close in that regard?
We're trying really, really hard to add some quality to what we've got. We feel that when we added the likes of Connor Salmon and Zeki Friars and Hamo and Ward on a permanent, that you know these are good, experienced, knowledgeable Championship players, but also at the right age. And so it's no hidden secret we're probably trying to add two. I'm not even going to say three because it's probably more likely going to be two, but we'd love to do a couple of bits of business between now and Monday.
I think we've asked you about Hunt before. Is he still a target?
Well, we like Jack Hunt. I don't think there's any secret we like Jack Hunt. We had a chat with Crystal Palace a couple of weeks ago. We've genuinely now been talking to Crystal Palace, and that's out of respect for what we've had here and what we've been about and what we're trying to do. But, you know, I do like the boy. I can't say he can lie to you.
When you sort of talk about the evolution of the team, and you know, you mentioned Friars in particular there, I mean, it's not many times that Rotherham United in their history have had a £5 million player in their squad.
No, and he didn't really show that in his first game, but he didn't show it in his first game because, of course, he's not been involved with the first team group at Crystal Palace, and it's to be expected. You know, if you go and watch Crystal Palace training, and I've been very fortunate to see Alan Pardew coach. Sorry, he's an excellent coach, but he'll only work with that elite group of 21, 22 players, and anyone else will go and train the reserves. And if you're like a bit like Zeki, who's came from Tottenham for a fee of around £4 million and could be more eventually, who knows, you probably get a little bit frustrated and your focus goes a little bit. So it takes you a week or two to refocus them. It takes us probably a 2 or 3 week period to get them as sharp and as fit as the rest of our group, because we think we're a really fit side. And that 10-day period we had without a game really helped Zeki, you know, just in terms of working with Paul Warren. He was the first in the mornings, and he was still working as he's doing today in the afternoons. But, you know, I've always believed that, how do you look at a good player? If you go watch a game as a manager and you look at a good player who's playing against a good opposition player, and if it's a full-back area, he never gets run, he never gives the ball away, he never gets beaten for pace, he never loses a header, and every time you give him the ball, he looks as if he's got 20 yards of space and freedom. That was Zeki Friars against Bolton.
Pringle as well, get him on the score sheet in that game, and given that he was fairly close, I guess, to leaving this team, and there's been speculation this week about his future again. How good was it to see him score, and is he very much a Rotherham United player now? Is there any chance that he could still move on?
Oh, of course there's a chance. Of course there's an absolute chance that... Do you mean move on or stay?
Move on.
No. I would think he's more likely to stay. You know, we like Ben Pringle. We're never hidden it. But, you know, as a manager, I have a duty to tell players to their face and to say why they're not playing. And if they dipped in form a little bit, Ben would be the first to admit that. Some of the speculation, going even a day or two talking to Millwall, and perhaps his agent was talking to one or two others, that, you know how the game works, they talk to the agents and the players before they talk to us. That's the game. And so from that point of view, but we seen a... had a long chat with Ben about 8 or 9 days ago, got a minute to sit yourself down, you know, get your hair highlighted like mine again, and get looking smart and trendy, and feel confident about yourself and feel good, and we embraced him on the training ground. And you know what, the kid reacted in the most fantastic fashion. And the best thing I can say about Ben Pringle's performance, probably for about 65 minutes the other night, not 90, but for about 65 minutes, it was like watching Ben Pringle in League One, when he was very, very clever in his movement. He was very incisive with his passing. His goal after a minute and 50 seconds was a stunning finish. It looked a good finish from live on the night, but when you go home and you watch it on television, the technique to do that is just a stunning finish. And as I was chatting to... I had Ben in this morning for a little chat, and Ben Pringle knows inside his head, inside his heart, what Steve Evans feels about him. But he's always known that.
Does that mean then that there may well be talked about a new contract again? I think he's up in the summer, isn't he?
Listen, I think there's always talks in respect to players and contracts and development with myself and the chairman and that stuff. But we have to always feel, as a football club, we get value for money. And my job as the manager in this one is probably to be a little bit of an intermediary. As a manager, do I want to work with Ben Pringle? Absolutely, I want to work with Ben Pringle. So I need to be a little bit of an intermediary and perhaps, you know, maybe convince or persuade, whatever the word is, or try my best to get our chairman to perhaps relook at some of the numbers we pulled that this football club can afford. But that's always what it's about. And I know from speaking to Ben this morning, he's certainly of that mind that what he would like to do. So I would love to see him stay at Miller.
Charlton is the next game. They've changed a lot, I think, since you played them at the New York Stadium. They've changed the manager, of course. And I suppose it goes to show the changing face of English football, that there's a couple of foreign managers and one of them's not lasted very long this year.
I think it was always going to be a very difficult task, even when Bob Peters first came into the chair. No one knew Bob, of course, then when he first got it. And that doesn't mean he's good or bad. It just means no one knows him. So you have to earn the right to get that credibility. And anyone managing at Charlton Athletic's got a real tough time after Alan Curbishley, haven't you? When it was probably thought by people on the board at Charlton Athletic then, not now, that mid-table in the Premiership wasn't good enough. I just get surprised. You don't often get surprised in football, but that shocked the life out of me. And I've watched Charlton Athletic dozens and dozens of times at the Valley, because I lived in South London, so I've watched them dozens and dozens of times. What does the Valley bring? It brings a fantastic atmosphere. The supporters are very vocal, so that's what we'll find on Saturday, and they get right behind the team with a great passion. But much has changed. New managers come in. Does he stick by the Bob Peters style of playing the team? Not so sure after they got a bit of a whopping at Watford, but they seem to pull that back in the next game when he made one or two changes. So we'll probably be more guided by that. And of course, we're always open up that he's had 10 days himself to work on something different.
What's the pitch like down there at the moment? Because I remember last season there was all sorts of issues with it. We're at that time of year now where there has been a bit of bad weather and certain pitches do get affected. Is it in good condition?
Well, I think when you look around some of the pitches in midweek, we are very fortunate at the New York Stadium. We have a bowling green. And we looked across the road and I watched the highlights from Sheffield Wednesday, and I really feel for the ground staff. They must have drainage problems, and perhaps the new ownership that's took over today, then they'll get a pitch in the summer that befits any standard of football, which is the Championship. I know Gary Rowett, the Birmingham manager I've spoken to, was particularly critical. And it should be. And it was like, we thought it was like that when we went there for the derby. But that's not knocking them. The supporters will want to see their team right first. And, and the pitch has to come good. But Charlton is probably won't be as good as the New York, and probably won't be as poor as what we've seen on the television at Hillsborough.
Mm. And when you have a victory at this level, like you do against Bolton, against an informed team, the big thing is to follow it up afterwards, isn't it, Steve? If you could go on a run here, you will put some daylight between yourselves and the bottom three.
Well, I think first and foremost, no one outside the camp of Rotherham United thought we could beat Bolton, did they? I think the highest that any of the pundits gave it was we might scrape a draw. And we felt confident from the day one when we shaped up 8 or 9 days ago with the team that picked. You know, I went on Radio Sheffield, as you know, and said that Adam Hamill was ill over the weekend. That's true. And I said that young Danny Ward had broken down with his car on the way to the game. That's true. But it didn't affect the starting 11. It might have affected the bench if they'd have been much later. So from that point of view, Charlton gives everyone confidence. Bolton gives everyone confidence. And it was always going to be tough. They had two changes from the team that went to Anfield and got a 0-0 draw. So we knew it would be a tough evening. But I think the only disappointing thing was the two sloppy goals we gave away, because it could have been a much further winning deficit for us.
Just to finish, I just wonder whether or not you feel at your best almost when people are doubting you. And this isn't just at Rotherham United, it'll be at other clubs as well. Do you sort of bring the best out of you when there are critics, when it maybe does put a chip on your shoulder that you've got that incentive to prove people wrong?
Well, I've had it all my life. You know, I've had it all my life in my football career, because I have an opinion, and because I say that opinion, then I can't help it. They're upset people. I tend to upset them because we normally beat their teams. That's been the fault in the past, that we beat them. So then they're the further pick fault, but it won't be the first time that many a person in football has asked me how I got on with so-and-so, and when I say I've never spoke to him, never met them, he said, well, they don't like you. I've never spoke to him, never met him, so that does surprise me. But I've just over every season tried to do my best, get up in the morning, work extremely hard, try and support my family as best we can, try and give Tony Stewart and Rotherham United and the Millers fans everything that I have every day of the week. And I've always said, I've said it from the day I walked in, they'll get many managers out there that are better than Steve Evans. Tony Stewart will never get one of what's harder than Steve Evans. But I'm fortunate my chairman knows that.
How much does this challenge really pump you up then this year of trying to keep this club in the Championship?
Well, this is the biggest challenge. When we come up from League 2 to League 1, we had built a squad for League 1 capable of challenging. So it really is a bit fine-tuning. But because we went straight through League 1, much to everyone's surprise, including our chairman, then we come up into the Championship. And I'll say this publicly, this is the first time I've ever said this. I can remember going to watch a pre-season game that involved Wolverhampton Wanderers and Peterborough. And I was very fortunate after the game to spend some time in the company of the chairman of Peterborough, Darren McAntony, and Darren Ferguson, who's a friend of mine. And both spoke about how my team at the start of the season were looking, and I was buzzing, as you can imagine. We've come back off holiday, we've won two consecutive promotions. And they said, that won't be the team in November. It won't be the team again in January, and it won't be the team when you go through the January window. In the following season, there'll be further evolution. And if you survive the first year, then that evolution takes you to being a Championship club. This is our hardest task by far.